Now, one thing for sure, when you give your life to Christ, He has a plan for you. He has a plan. You're not an accident. But there's a purpose for you in life today. And God has a plan. And God wants to fulfill His plan in your lives. Amen. Let's just pray a moment. Father, I just pray You'll help us to simply deliver Your word of truth. And Father, I pray that You would open ears and hearts to receive Your word. And that, Lord, it would bring encouragement and growth and even salvation. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to try and keep it as simple as possible. Because today we don't have nobody to translate in Nepalese today. Everybody's away. So, I'm going to ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. In the New Testament, the book of Galatians. Mind you, you could speak in Nepalese, couldn't you? Huh? If I get you the headset, could you tell them what I'm saying? No? Oh, okay. I'll let you off this time. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law, when He hung on a tree on the cross. He took upon Himself the cure for our wrongdoings." Wow. When Jesus hung upon that cross, He took the punishment. He took the punishment for your wrongdoings, my wrongdoings. Jesus took the punishment. Wow. There's not many people who'll say, "I'll take it, I did it," when they didn't do it ever. You know, it was them. We're always looking to blame somebody else, aren't we? "She did it. It were her." You know? Brothers and sisters, you know, they're always the same brothers and sisters. It's like, "Weren't me. Weren't me." Well, yeah, well, that's it, you see. That's what we're here to be. We're here to be blamed. No, but so often, none of us want to take a punishment, do we? We don't like punishment, do we? Oh, no way. But Jesus volunteered. He looked down and He saw Ian. And He said, "Boy, he's going to get a right lashing. I'll take his punishment. I'll die on the cross for Ian. I'll die on the cross for Esther, for her punishment. I'll die on the cross for Andrew, for his punishment." But the scripture goes on to say this, "But cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." And so Jesus, that blessed Son of God, that precious Son of God, who never did anything wrong, who never said a wrong word to anybody, who came to show the love of God to the world, came as a baby. We're coming up to Christmas now, and we're coming up to that time when people are celebrating. Some people don't know what they're celebrating. All they're celebrating is giving presents and going out and getting drunk and having a big great meal, which is all great things to be, you know, to have a nice meal, to give presents. But the reason behind all of this is that God sent His only Son, who He loved, with absolute love beyond a measure, and he sent him on a cross to die for me, for you. Because God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you.
Amen.
And he wants to bring you to that place where you are made in his image again. Where we are sinless and spotless. Where we can stand in the presence of God and know that God loves us. He loves you. I know so many people say, oh, you know, as children, you might have been brought up and told, God's going to get you. If you misbehave, God's watching you and he's going to get you. God says, I love you. He loves you. And the only way he wants to get you is to get hold of you and give you a big hug and say, come on, you're my children, I love you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son Jesus to die upon a cross for the whole world. So he died to pay the price for the punishment for everything that the world has done wrong, is doing wrong, and is going to do wrong. Wow, that's a big, big ask. Now the Bible also, as we read that verse of scripture, it tells us that Jesus hung on the tree. And he hung on the tree to fulfill the law. The law being that of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books are the books of the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We know the basics of the Ten Commandments. And even on 10 it says you've broken them all. Or at least one. Because one of them says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And until I came to Jesus, I didn't love God. Until I came to Jesus, I didn't know God, so I was breaking one of the commandments.
Yeah.
I was a lawbreaker.
Yeah.
But when I came to Jesus, everything was made complete in Christ Jesus. The thing is that when we break the law of our lives, it causes something to happen. And the first thing it caused to happen in our life is, and we turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. God didn't mean they would die physically. He meant that they would die in their spiritual relationship with God the Father, who is Spirit. And so Adam and Eve, when they rebelled, when they were disobedient, when they ignored what God had said and chose to do their own thing, they died spiritually. Their connection with God was broken. It says later on in the Bible, it says God came in the cool of the evening in the garden as he did every day, looking for Adam and Eve. They weren't in the normal place. They weren't in the place where they always met. They'd moved away. They'd gone and hid themselves. You know, they were hiding in the bushes. They could hear God coming. And they're they're hiding, saying, don't let him see us. Don't let him find us. They were afraid because they realized that when they were rebellious, when they were disobedient, something left them. There was something about them that had changed. The glory that God had covered them in, that special glory, that anointing that God had given to them, had gone. And so in the beginning, when we break the law, one of the things that happens is that spiritual death comes over us. We're no longer able to listen to God. We're no longer able to tune in to God. The tree of good and evil. You see, not everything around us is good today, is it? You know, we look around and we see around us that not everything is good. You know, and suddenly we find that when we as Christians, if we walk away from God, if we walk into the things of the world, we find that ourselves, we separate ourselves from God. Yeah. And we begin to realize that we're drifting in a different direction. God does not want you to drift. God wants you to have a purpose. He wants you to get into this plan. He wants you to be involved. He wants you to move forward with Him. And then we find that not only is there a spiritual separation, but there is also a separation that brings poverty. Suddenly Adam and Eve were rich at first when God, they had everything they wanted in that garden. God says, just look after it and it'll be, everything will be there for you. Everything's provided. And when they separated themselves from God, they suddenly became poor. Poverty came upon them. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, an amazing book is Deuteronomy. And chapter 28, first of all, it starts off, it says, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all His commands which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And then he goes on in verse 2, and all these blessings shall overtake you. So the moment that you and I are obeying God, suddenly blessings start to come over us. Suddenly we're covered with blessings. Suddenly we're like, wow, you know, God's blessed me with this and God's blessed me with that. His protection is on you every day. As Grace shared that little bit of a testimony of mine when I was on the motorway. As I was going through the traffic and it was solid traffic, I suddenly, okay, yeah, what is wrong with this? And I've just got a green light that says that I'm going nowhere, I'm in neutral. I could rev it as much as I want, but it was going nowhere. And the other thing was, it was uphill as well, which made it even worse. And so there I'm on this bike, and I'm like doing this. Trying to get across. I said, Lord Jesus. You know, He's always there. His hand of protection. He's always there. He made a promise. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you, Esther. No. Not going to leave you. He said, I'm always with you. Sometimes we, you know, come here, Esther. Come here. Come out here. Come out here. Come out here. I'll use you. You know? Bless her. Sometimes God's like this. He's got His arms open for us, you know. Keep your arms open, and God is waiting for us to run to Him, so that suddenly the arms of God Just come around us. Stay there. Keep your arms open. That's it. God's got his arms open. And sometimes we start moving towards God, and then suddenly we turn away. And we miss what God has for us. You know? And sometimes, you know, we have to go down a difficult pathway and work our way back through. And then all of a sudden, we get back to that place and we see God. And we say, oh, that's where I should be going. And God is still waiting for us. And then God puts his arms around us. And we know the love of God. Thank you. And the love of God is constantly waiting for us. The love of God is constantly there, wanting to protect us, wanting to bless us, to do us good. And when you read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first thing that it says is that God wants to bless you.
Amen.
Is that right? It says God wants to bless you. You know, it says in verse 3, blessed shall you be. Verse 4, blessed shall you be. Verse 5, blessed shall you be. Verse 6, blessed shall you be. And it just keeps going on that God wants to bless, 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 bless.
Amen.
But there's a warning part way through. Because you know what we like. We see something, don't we? Think, oh, I wonder what that's like. Oh. It's like the monkey. How do you catch a monkey? The missionaries used to say, this is how you catch a monkey. You see, you put this jar and you fasten it down and you leave the lid off. Put some sweets in it, something nice. He said, just so the top of the jar is just big enough for the monkey to get his hand in. And then the monkey comes along and pops his hand inside and grabs the stuff. And that, he's trapped. He wants to get out and he wants to get away, but he's not going to let go of what he's got. And it's like, he can't get away. Because he won't let go. And the problem today is people won't let go of their sin. And it's holding them trapped. They can't get away. And the Bible says in verse 14, and don't turn aside from any of these words which I command you today. Don't turn to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Because he says, if you do, basically he's saying, if you do, this is what will happen. And it starts off in verse 16, cursed shall you be. 17, cursed shall you be. Verse 18, cursed shall you be. Verse 19, cursed shall you be. And so it goes on, saying that if you go after these things, if you leave God, it will cause great problems for you. God is a God that wants to bless. Because God has a plan for you. God wants to take you from where you are and put you on a new road. God wants to take you out of the miry pit, the place where sadness and depression and hatred and jealousy and malice and all those other things live there. God wants to take you out of that, and he wants you to put you on a good road where there's the love of God.
Amen.
Where there's the joy and the strength of the Lord, where there's health and wholeness. And God wants to put you on that road. And God wants to help keep you on that road. Because God has a plan for you. Because God has a purpose for you. God has a destiny for you to fulfill. You are not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. You weren't an accident. Some people are told when they were born, you know, as they get older, well, you were a mistake. No, you were not a mistake. God planned for you to be here. The reason you're here today is God planned for you to be here. Because He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you He loves you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose to do you good. And so God wants to minister into your lives. It also tells us in that same chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, that sickness will come over us. You know, it separates us spiritually from God. It brings spiritual death. It brings poverty. And it brings sickness. When God created Adam and Eve, there was no sickness. They weren't created to die. They were created to live. And Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, He says, I have come that you might have life and have it with an abundance. And I know many people say, oh, you know, God's going to get you. You know, being a Christian's a miserable way. Well, I find that being a Christian has been so exciting in my life for the last 50 years. Where I've seen God move and do things. Where I've seen God heal people. Open blind eyes. Unstop deaf ears. Raise the dead. And people say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe what you want because you weren't there when I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And for people to say that God doesn't love people, I'm telling you, God loves people. Why would He heal people? Why would He open blind eyes? Why would He unstop deaf ears? Why would He raise dead people when we pray? Because He says, I love you. Amen. God wants to show Himself to be a miracle working God, a God of love. But you know, the Word of God tells us, if we, at the beginning of Deuteronomy there, if we obey the Lord our God, and obey His commandments, listen to Him, follow what God's saying to us. He says, you're going to be blessed, and blessed, and blessed, and blessed. And you're going to be blessed to be a blessing to other people. And the blessings should overtake us. God is appointing you for blessings with a purpose and a future. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says that, give thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus died that I might be forgiven. Jesus died that you might be forgiven. And Jesus died that the whole world might be forgiven and restored back into a friendship and relationship with God. He came as a baby, vulnerable. They tried to kill Him even as a baby. When the king heard that the Saviour had been born, the King of Kings, and He was going to rule and reign, the king was afraid He was going to take His kingdom off Him, so he went to find Him and to have Him killed. And he went to the town in which He was born, and he slaughtered. He had every baby under the age of two slaughtered, thinking, well, I don't know which one he is, but if I kill them all, then I've got him. But God knew, and God had a plan. And Mary and Joseph took our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to Egypt at that time. And so his life was preserved, because it wasn't his time to die for your sins, for my sins. It was later that he died upon that cross for you and me, so that you and I can be forgiven and set free. Today, God has a plan for you. You're not an accident. You were intended to be here. God has a purpose for you. You know, you can go to the graveyards around Doncaster, and there are a lot of people there that have not fulfilled the purpose that God had them birthed for. They missed fulfilling their purpose. Today I want to say to you, don't miss fulfilling your purpose in God. Take every opportunity. Invite Jesus into your life and let him be the Lord and Saviour. Let him direct you. Let him speak into your life. And I promise you this, you will find strength that you never knew you that was there. You will find joy that you never knew was there. You'll not need alcohol, drugs and the things of the world. You'll just need Jesus. Because the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. And he will give us strength to go through difficult times, because he's created us to be more than a conqueror, the Word of God says. I've created you to conquer, to be a conqueror. And so I just want to encourage you today. There is a great plan for you. And if you want that plan to work out, you need to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and life. You need to make him Lord and let him begin to shape and to mould you into the plan and the purpose for the future. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Father God, we just come before you. And we just ask you, Lord, to come afresh into our lives and to shape us and to mould us anew. Take away every desire for every wrong thing. And to give us the desire for you. That, Lord, we might see our lives fulfill that great plan that you have for us. Greater than we can imagine. Greater than we can even think of. That you have a purpose for us. And not an accident. I was meant to be here. Can I just, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, can I just ask, is there anybody here that has never asked the Lord Jesus into their heart and life, and today they realise that Jesus died for them on a cross? He gave his life. He gave his life up